Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Today is the 91st episode of this series, and in this month of November 2018, when we celebrate the 93rd birthday celebrations, probably by Bhagwan's grace, very interestingly, coincidentally, coincidentally, we will probably have the 93rd episode of Vahini Satsang. It is He who has been guiding this show. It is He who has been communicating to us what He wants us to understand and practice them in our lives, take them to heart and into our actions. So we are in chapter 30 of Prema Vahini. The previous two episodes, Sai Prakash and myself, we deliberated on the first two segments of chapter 30. Today, let's move on to the third segment. It's a pretty long chapter, and we are going little by little, because to me this looks like the summary of all that Bhagwan has written, and He here has come down to very simple instructions, very simple things to follow, simple things to understand. It is just that we have to take at least any one of them, and our life will be on the path towards Him. So let's listen to the third segment of chapter 30.
భగవంతుడు ఎప్పటికిని ఏనాటికిని నీవు ఏ జాతికి చెందినవాడవని కాని ఏ ఆచారమునకు చెందినవాడవని కాని అడుగడు. ఎన్ని మంచి కార్యములను చేసినావనియు ఏ హృదయమున చేసితివనియు మాత్రము చూసును. భక్తి అనగా కాషాయాంబరాన్ని వేయుట, ఉత్సవములు చేయించుట, యజ్ఞములు చేయుట, గుండ్లు కొట్టించుట అనగా తలలు బోడిచేయుట, దండకమండలములు ధరించుట, వెంట్రుకలు జడలు కట్టించుకోవటము ఇవన్నీయూ కాదు. అంతఃకరణ శుద్ధిగా ఉంచుకొని ఎడతెరపి లేక ఏ కార్యము ఆచరించినను భగవత్ చింతననే చేయుచు, సర్వము పరమాత్మ యొక్క సృష్టిలో ఒకటిగా భావించుకుంటూ విషయరహితుడై సర్వజన సమాన ప్రేమతో సత్యవాక్కుతో మెలగటమే భక్తి.
The Lord will never inquire at any time the caste to which you belong or the customs which you traditionally follow. He will only be interested in what good acts you have done and the heart with which you undertook those actions. Devotion does not consist in wearing an ochre robe, the observance of festivals, the performance of ritualistic sacrifices, the shaving of hair, the carrying of kamandalu or danda, the matting of the hair, and so on. With a pure antakarana or inner self, to uninterruptedly contemplate on God, no matter what one may be engaged in, feeling that everything is the Lord's creation, being unattached to sense objects, embracing all in equal love, and dedicating to truth in speech, these indeed are the characteristics of bhakti or devotion.
So here we have Bhagwan very clearly mentioning how He is the one who looks for the intent more than the content.
Means versus ends, if you may.
Yes.
In another way of looking at it.
Yes. As Bhagwan used to say, bhava, not bahya.
Absolutely. That's the right, those are the right words. Bhava, not bahya.
Not bahya. And I think this is something that anyone who has been a student in Bhagwan's university,
right,
and done his own experimentation with anything spiritual would have understood of Bhagwan.
Absolutely.
Because ultimately, once you are here, you want His attention. And for that, you will do anything.
Correct.
And you figure out that you will crack it only when you stop being a crack and thinking about all other things and focusing on the internal. I think only when you connect with him inside, then he responds. And the story of every student's life is this beautiful journey of knowing this Bhagwan who is Antaranga Sai.
Absolutely, absolutely.
In fact, I was listening to the Samarpan talk of Brother Dilip.
Okay.
Dilip Kumar Chaudhary, who had the chance to serve Swami at close quarters for more than 10 years. And so he was narrating his initial years of coming to Bhagwan. So on July 4th, 1986, he joins Vrindavan. And the previous day, July 3rd, they were all in Prashantinilayam and they were taking leave from Bhagwan. So Swami had called all the boys and he was talking to them. That year, interestingly, the session started not in June but in July.
Okay.
Because the admission test for the students happened a little later. Apparently, students were invited from all the states to come for the university entrance examination, but they had to first write an entrance examination in the various states. So every Satyasai organization, every state conducted an entrance examination, and who passed that, they came for the main entrance examination.
Which year was this?
1986.
Oh.
That was the only year it happened.
Mm.
Where the organization was very involved in selecting the candidates. So the final selected candidates came to Prashantinilayam for the written and interview, and once they cleared that,
interesting.
Then, so because of that whole process, it was 1 month late, and so Brother Dilip joined that time, and so on that day before they left for Vrindavan on July 3rd, 1986, Swami is talking to them on the Mandir portico, and Swami asks these boys, "How many friends do you have?" And so different boys, and they're very fresh to Swami and everything. So different boys said different numbers, and somebody said 10 friends and 3 friends and all that. And then Swami said, "No, no, no. I'm not asking worldly friends. I'm asking about real friend." Real friend. And for them, everyone was so new, they didn't understand the difference only. What is it? What is it worldly friend? What is real friend? And all. And then Swami started that whole process, and Swami said, "God is our only true friend. God is the only true friend. He's the only friend who will always be with you." And then they came to Vrindavan, and Brother Dilip, he is from Odisha, and he did his schooling also in a language medium school, so he was not very comfortable with English. And he was very hesitant to speak also in the room. And it was, first of all, first time in hostel, coming from a very small town. So adjusting with people who have come from different backgrounds, different state, all that was difficult. Plus, when he was speaking, his accent was so much laden with the mother tongue influence that, you know, he used to, people, at times he would make fun of his English. So he would be very scared to speak, and he was good at speaking, but he was good in speaking in Odia because that was his
mother tongue.
And so once Bhagwan came to Vrindavan, and you know, he thought that, you know, like, just like every other student, you want to figure out what can I do so that I can go get close to Swami. And so he thought, you know, speaking is impossible for me because I'm still figuring out. I don't think I'll ever become fluent in English and speak. So he thought the best thing is, you know, I can sing. So that is no problem. And he used to sing. So obviously the teacher said that you have to get Swami's permission, only then you can sing. So from that day he started this. Every day he would go to Darshan with a letter, "Swami, please grant me permission to sing in front of you." So that was the only line in that letter. So every day he used to go to Mandir. I mean, this was the prayer. Swami came in August, July. So August Swami came. And so In those days, the students who had their birthdays, you had the opportunity to go to Trey Vrindavan that day. And Swami would be sitting in the sofa in the morning. So you can go with a tray and, you know, with your tray of chocolates and a flower and gloves. So Swami would accept the flower and then, you know, Swami would throw the chocolates. And then Swami may take a glove also and put it in his mouth. And you take yellow rice and Swami will put the yellow rice on you and all that. So that evening, he was sitting in the front with his birthday tray. And so Swami did everything. Swami took his flower, the flower that he offered. Swami took the yellow rice and he put it on his head. And then Swami threw the toffee to all the children. And he took a glove and he put it in his mouth. And then Swami asked, "Where are you from?" So this brother Dili, before coming here, he had read in Sanatana Sarathi that Swami had asked once a group of devotees who are from Argentina,
okay,
"Where are you from?" And so this devotee said, "Swami, I am from Argentina." And Swami said, "No, wrong answer." Wrong answer. Said, "After you have come here, you should say, 'I am from Prashantinilayam.'"
Oh.
"I am from Swami. I am from Prashantinilayam."
Mm.
"After you have come here, everything changes."
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So, suddenly to Brother Dilip, that thing occurred in his mind. And so he said, "Swami, I am from Prashantinilayam." Then Swami said, "Manavadu."
Oh, so sweet. Amazing.
Manavadu means,
it's our boy.
Our boy only. My own only.
My person.
My person. So, he didn't know what he was doing, you know. He didn't understand Telugu also. After Bhagavan left, he asked someone and someone said, "Yeah, it meant that you belong to Swami, your own." I mean, he was saying just how you, if you take it to heart, you know, whatever Swami says, how beautiful
absolutely
your life becomes. And but the sad part was, Swami blessed him in every way, but Swami did not take his letter. And so he was saying, "Okay, fine, some other day." But Swami had, you know, blessed him so nicely, so he was happy. And so the letter taking process continued. So every day he would take that letter. And so there were so many days like that, you know, Swami would take letter from next to him, boys,
right,
left, right, center, you know, how it happens. And it would avoid him and not take his letters. And it went on for days and weeks and months. And not just months, years. Like one whole year went and Swami didn't take that letter. You know, he wanted to sing. And now he started pining. And Swami, "Why you don't want me to sing? You said Kali Yuga Namasmarana is the best thing to do. I also want to do that. I want to sing. What wrong have I done? You know, is that too much? I'm only asking, you know, all that how we pray to Swami." I think every person who has asked for Swami pined for a chance to sing, probably can relate to it. So Swami, one bhajan, you know, that's how we pray, no? One bhajan, Swami, one chance. And it was just not happening. And so many, almost 2 years passed. And he started thinking, "What should I do? Maybe I should do some sadhana. You know, then I can get close to Swami." And he thought, even this sadhana, you know, there are so many things to do. But Swami should guide me about what I should do. And interestingly, that evening when Bhagavan was speaking, Swami talked about the Gayatri Mantra and the efficacy of the Gayatri Mantra.
Okay.
So he said, "That's it, I got it. I got my answer." So from that night, he decided to chant 108 times before sleeping.
Okay.
So he started that process. Every night he will chant Gayatri 108 times. And it was going on. But there was no response. I mean, he thought that once he starts this process, someone will start talking to him. And nothing was happening. And, you know, then as a little one, you know, as a youngster, you start doubting your efforts. And you go, maybe Gayatri Mantra is not powerful. Maybe I should chant. Maybe Om Shri Sairam Jai Hanuman. Maybe something else, you know. But then he thought, no, no. Basically, your mind, no, you wouldn't want. It's lazy. Om Shri Sairam is shorter. So he just wants one convenient way to... stop this sadhana. So he continued. He didn't stop that. A small aside here, brother says that he continued the sadhana, and many years later, when he was serving Swami in the Prashantinilayam Mandir, he was sleeping upstairs. His bed used to be just outside, you know, where the silver door is. Just next to that, his bed used to be there. And so one day, afternoon time, he and Radha Krishna sir, they were there, and Swami wanted to move across, you know, from this side of from the west side to the east side of the Prashantinilayam Mandir. And so as Swami was walking, you know, his bed was there, and this Japamala had sort of slid out of the bed. It used to be always below his bed. So Swami saw that, and Swami called him. I said, whose bed is this? Told Swami, my bed. So, what is this?
Japamala.
So, he didn't say anything. He just kept quiet. He just bowed down. And Swami said, I know. You are doing 108 times, no, every night.
Oh, beautiful.
So, he was saying, you know, whatever prayer you do, if you are doing it with that purity, it always reaches. It always reaches. So, coming back to his singing story, so he was doing that, and the 2 years went by, and he was not getting the chance to sing at all. And one day, Swami, what used to happen those days is, in the Trayi session, you know, Swami would ask someone to sing, and Swami would even tell which bhajan to sing, actually. Okay. So that is how the bhajan sessions used to be, actually. You know, after one bhajan is over, there will be pause. Swami will select the next singer and the bhajan, and then that person will sing.
Amazing.
So that is how the bhajans used to happen in Trayi. So, and so he was praying for that, and every time, you know, Swami would pick a singer. But, you know, he would never get that chance. And so one day, what happened is, he got, then Swami was, he was having that letter. And when this Swami was asking each person to sing, then suddenly Swami called him.
Okay.
So he leapt up. And he went to Bhagwan's presence with that same letter, Swami, give me that opportunity to sing. And he took namaskar, and through gestures, Swami told him, like, next, you know, through gestures, Swami said, okay, next.
Next you sing.
Next you sing. I mean, that's what Swami communicated through gestures. So he stood there, he sat there, and he thought, no, let this bhajan be over. One bhajan is going on, so after that it will be his chance. So bhajan was over, and he was about to start, but Swami got up. And Swami asked for arati. And Swami retired. So he thought, okay, then it means that maybe tomorrow, I will get a chance to sing. So the next day in Trayi session, as soon as Bhagwan comes, Swami says, Swami asks the Professor Narendra, and Swami says, Narendra, today we will not have bhajans. Today we will have quiz program. So you conduct one quiz. So the next day went in quiz program. No bhajan session at all in Trayi. So then Dilip brother thought, okay, it means whenever the next bhajan session
is there, then I get the chance.
That is the meaning of next of Swami. So that day Bhagwan retired. And the next morning, they got the news that Swami is going to Mudanalli to do the foundation stone of the junior college in Mudanalli. And all the boys were supposed to go with Swami. So he asked the teacher, sir, can I sing there in Mudanalli? He said, no, first you have to sing in front of Swami. After that only you can sing there. He said, okay. So he was waiting, you know, when Swami will come back, and you know, for the evening bhajan session, probably that day, it could be the day, the golden day for him. And so after the session was over in Mudanalli, his buses came back, and so he asked the brother, Swami also, brother, came back. So one senior brother said, yes, Swami is coming back to Vrindavan. So he didn't even go to the hostel. He got off on the bus and he went straight to Trai, you know, waiting when Bhagwan will call. And he was there for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Nobody is there. Mm. Nobody is coming. Then someone came and told, no, Swami has gone to Puttaparthi from Mudanalli. And then he thought, oh my God. So what is this? Oh,
when is that next?
Next. So next means maybe it is next trip of Swami.
Amazing. What perseverance, no?
Yeah. Mm. And then next year is his final year.
Mm.
And so when the final year came,
so 2 years of undergraduate.
2 years
of
undergraduate, he didn't get the, only praying for the
chance.
Oh
my God.
Mm. Never got the chance. Mm. So third year when Bhagwan came, and he went to this teacher, so the teacher said, no, that Swami told last year.
Mm.
This year you have to get again permission.
Again permission.
So it was unending penance to sing one bhajan in front of Swami. But somehow, after that, he got the chance. And one day he sang one bhajan. Okay, then he thought, okay, now I'm a singer. So whenever bhajan session happens, and Swami will start, you know, selecting and picking singers. So that one bhajan he sang, after that, whenever the bhajan session used to happen, Swami would ask so many singers to sing, but never him.
Hmm.
I mean, he literally got that only one bhajan.
My God.
And he thought, okay.
He thought Swami answered my prayer literally, because maybe in the letter, Swami, let me sing one bhajan. So Swami said, you sing only one bhajan.
And then it was not, then you know, then he thought, okay, maybe, you know, Swami does not recognize me as a singer. Because Swami was never asking him to sing in bhajan sessions. And slowly he was reconciling to that feeling and thinking what else he should do in life, you know, to get close to Swami, because this is not working out and all that. And like this, a few weeks passed, and suddenly one day, Trai session, Swami came and said, we will not have bhajans today. Today we will have speeches.
Okay.
Who will speak?
Swami
asked. So many boys raised their hands. Then Swami and Brother Dilip was sitting somewhere behind, and he really put his head down, because speaking was impossible for him. So Swami looked at him, pointed at him, "Hey singer, you get up, Swami."
Oh.
He jumped. Finally, Swami is calling him a singer. You know, what joy.
A singer who did not sing.
Swami's ways are so... I mean, only God can do it. That's
right.
All. Only an antaranga sai can do it.
Correct.
That's all. So he jumped and he went to Swami, and Swami said, "Hey, you speak." And he froze because speaking was so difficult for him. Swami said, "No, you speak." And so he took namaskar, and his heart was in the mouth, because he's really never done that in Swami's presence. And he started speaking. And he spoke for 1.5 hours.
Oh my God.
But the interesting thing is that 1.5 hours had 55 minutes of pauses and only 20 minutes of words. So, because what used to happen is,
he would think in Odia.
Exactly.
And then he has to translate
it. He should think in Odia, then get the words, frame the sentence, check his pronunciation, and then slowly utter.
My God.
This whole process was going on in his mind. So he would speak one sentence and take a long pause and speak another sentence. There was one miracle of Swami that his mother had narrated to him. So he thought he will narrate that incident, but it took him so long. But Swami sat through that entire 1.5 hours. Swami was no problem. So he finished his talk, he took namaskar. And after he took namaskar, Swami just got up. He didn't take aarti. And he went off upstairs. Then everyone started telling him, see, this is not what you should do. When you are given a chance to speak, you should speak for 10 minutes, 15 minutes max. What is this? 1.5 hours. And it is 55 minutes of gaps and 20 minutes of words. Is that anyone gives a speech and all that? You know, and again he started feeling bad and, you know, cursing himself for his dismal performance and for his no talent and everything. And then Swami had gone upstairs and he's feeling very sorry, and suddenly Swami comes out on
the balcony.
And you know how sometimes Swami would rest his chin on that lotus petals.
Beautiful,
there.
Yes.
And the Swami then smiled, and Swami said, "Where is that Odisha boy?"
Wow.
Swami asked. So beautifully he spoke, Swami said. So beautifully he spoke. He spoke from his heart.
How amazing.
And the brother says, that was nectar to my ears. You know. So that is how his journey.
Bhava Priya. Bhava Priya. Not Bahya Priya.
Yes. That is how his journey to
Bhagavan. Such a beautiful story. Such a beautiful story. In fact, this whole avatar, if you look at it.
Yes.
The way Swami has, here Swami writes, the first sentence he writes, the Lord will not look at your caste.
Yes.
He will not inquire at any time what caste you belong.
Yes.
What achara practice you traditionally follow. Then what kashaya vastram you are wearing.
Yes.
So these are all external, you know, kind of ritualistic or show. See, there are many people who are genuinely spiritual.
Yes.
And they also wear awkward robes.
Yes.
But then are you at that level of selflessness?
I mean, first, what is important is the internal.
Internal cleanliness. Yes. The internal orientation.
Internal orientation.
In fact, there is this beautiful episode which was narrated by the two sisters, Veenamma and Vijayamma. They used to sing here in Mandir in the 60s. And their mother, who was Veenamma, then Vijaya and her sister, they used to be singers in the Mandir. So they narrated this incident about the Shankaracharya of Kanchipuram. See, this Periyavar. So he is very revered, yes. And you know, he lived for 100 years, and yes. He was a gyani.
Yes.
And they narrated this beautiful episode about how, see, because although they are the custodians of that ritualistic matam, so he is the matadipati, he is the head of that ritualistic, but at heart, you know, completely, he is completely aware of who Bhagwan is. He had great love and devotion for Swami. And they narrated a beautiful incident where he had to go to another place for attending a function. And since Periwar was coming, the whole street was crowded, and that place was filled with a lot of his followers and disciples. So that whole place was crowded. There was a huge pandal that was laid out, and a very wealthy person had arranged all the, you know, big banquet and everything. And Periwar was coming in the procession. Suddenly he took a detour. He suddenly took a detour, and everybody is wondering what happened. And their house was in that street, a small house, a very small house. He just took a detour and walked into their house.
Oh.
And it was never done. He has never done it like that. And they were surprised. And as he entered the house, he said, "I don't want anybody entering. I want to go inside."
Wow.
And so they didn't know what. And he went inside. And he stood for a long time looking at the photos of Swami and Shirdi Baba. And he was looking and he asked them, "You like this Baba or that Baba?" He asked them, "Do you like Shirdi Sai or you like Satya Sai?" They said, "We have seen only this Baba." So he said, "Both are the same." And then he made this beautiful statement. He said, "You cannot win his heart by your traditional muddy and all these external practices."
This is orthodox.
Orthodox display of devotion. And orthodox display of, you cannot win his heart. He has not come for that.
He has come for the simplest of people. He has come for the upliftment of the simplest of people who are able to love.
Wow.
He says, if you are able to love him, that's all. You may be anybody. He does not look at your caste. He does not look at your whether you are born in as a Brahmin, whether you have done this, you have done this charity. Nothing. He doesn't look at anything. He is the avatar of love. And these are his words. And he sang a Sanskrit hymn in praise of Swami. And he says this hymn describes him so completely. And he requested them, please, can you give me an opportunity to do an aarti for Swami?
Oh.
And in their house, he did an aarti for Swami. And then he said, I'm so happy. And he sat there and partook some simple food that they had made.
Mm-hmm.
While the whole, you know, huge arrangement and setup was there outside. Mm-hmm. And people are getting restless outside.
Mm-hmm.
But he came here. He said, this is what the Lord has willed, that I should serve him in this way.
Wow.
I mean, such a great sage, such a great... See, at heart, he was completely in sync with what does the Lord look for?
Yes.
The Lord looks for bhava, not bahya. So he is doing the role as a matadipati. He is the head of the huge, ancient, this thing. But Bhagwan is here. So he said, when Bhagwan is here, only the heart matters. Nothing else matters.
Wow. In fact, I'm reminded of that incident, the groundnut incident.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have talked about it probably before also. It was the time when this... music programs were going on,
right,
of the Bharat Cultural Integration Committee.
Correct.
So we had 3 days of music programs, generally during birthday celebrations. And so one day during darshan, Swami suddenly sees this old lady.
Mm-hmm.
She was sitting behind, actually, many rows behind. And Swami stretches out and takes one bag that this lady had.
Yes, I remember that. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
So Swami takes that bag. And generally what would happen is, you know, whenever Swami takes a thing like that, Swami would be having letters in one hand and the bag in the other, then Swami would immediately give this, you know, to whoever is assisting him during darshan. But that day Swami gave the letters, but he held the bag. He wanted to hold the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bhagwan went inside. This music program was going on. And after some time, you know, Swami sat there for some time and then Swami came off inside and Swami opened that bag and he called all the people inside, you know, who were serving him. And Swami started opening, you know, cracking those nuts, ground nuts. And he was, you know, with so much joy, he was opening each one and he was giving to all the boys who were there, you know, Brother Dilip and Sainath and all those people who were serving that time, you know. And it went on for like 10 minutes, 15. And Swami didn't care. The whole place was becoming dirty. He didn't care. You know?
So he wanted to eat that.
Yeah, he wanted to eat that. So like a kid, he was, you know, enjoying doing that. And and everyone is thinking like, such eminent musicians have come and big program is happening there. But Swami is more interested in sitting and eating ground nuts here. And that's when later on, that's what we found out, that this lady used to, for many years, her first produce from her
field,
she used to make this specially for Swami. You know, she would curate it very specially for Swami.
Mm.
And that whole process of, you know, drying, roasting and everything.
Mm.
And she would always offer it first to Bhagwan.
Mm.
And she had done that for so many years. And, you know, with time, crowd increased and she had no more access to Swami, but she would always come.
Mm.
And here was Bhagwan, you know, just picking her from the crowd. In fact,
amazing. In fact, I think there is more to the story, because later he started wondering, how do I return this back to her?
Oh.
He said that, I have taken this, but now how will I return this back to her?
Back to her. Wow.
So sweet, you know, absolutely.
Reminds me of Krishna Sudama, isn't it?
Absolutely the same, episode. Yeah. You know, there is a personal incident I would like to share in this regard.
Wow. Yes, please.
Like Bhava Priya, not Bhakya Priya, basically that's what it is.
Yes.
You know,
I was in the primary school, and that was sometime in the, my sixth standard, fifth, sixth standard. So that was around Christmas time, just maybe 3-4 days before Christmas. And what happened was Swami had sent a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ to the primary school. And it was a very beautiful painting of Jesus Christ. And the moment I saw it, I felt, oh my God, I should draw this. I should make a sketch, pencil sketch of this Jesus Christ and show it to Swami on Christmas. Now what happened? So I went to the teacher and I asked, can you please get an entire chart sheet? You know, we have this huge paper. And so it is like some, you know, 1.5 feet wide by two feet length. So it was like a white sheet. And that would be available in the mandir stores, stationery stores. So I asked the class teacher, please, can you urgently get one sheet? I want to draw this for Swami and all. She said, definitely, I'll try. And she came to the mandir and she asked in the stores. She asked and they said, we don't have. We don't have stock now. And the sheets will come only after Christmas. So it will take another 1 week or 10 days for the sheets to come. We know what you're talking about, but it will come only later. And she came and she told me that, you know, this is what it is. And I was feeling so bad, so bad. I said, now how will I make this? How will I make this drawing for Swami? I wanted to make this drawing for Swami. And I said, Swami, something, there has to be some way out. And I was literally in tears. I was thinking, my God, Christmas will come and go and I'll never have it. And as I was walking past, there used to be a medical room, like a small medical room where, you know, if you get hurt or if you have anything, you go, the doctor used to say.
Dispensary kind of thing
in primary school. So we had to go there. And I was just, lost. And I was thinking, what am I going to do? And I was just walking around. Suddenly I found that there is another room opposite this room, which was called the project room. Okay, it was called the projects room. So basically what it is it's a collection of all the old projects that students have done. So like, for example, if you're doing a biology project, you know, so on one side of the sheet, you have done your pencil drawings, you have written your description and everything. The other side is left blank. And, you know, so for some of the illustrations, people use a slightly thicker paper. For text, you use a thinner paper. And for projects, you know, so these were all the class projects. And that door was open. And I said, wow, why not take some papers? And these were all papers which were going to be burnt or, you know, disposed of.
Yeah, it's all over.
It's all done. It was the old projects. So I went and then I said, one side is empty.
Wow.
Only one side is written. So I started picking out. And then, you know, I went through something like 30, 40 sheets.
You wanted to join the sheets?
Yes.
Wow.
Because the sheet was like A4 size.
A4 size, yes.
And I wanted to join four A4 sizes to make the size of the chart sheet.
Wow.
Because it came in my mind that I should draw it on the chart sheet. Now what happened? I had to pick 8 sheets because on both sides it had to look plain. So suppose you take a sheet on which it's written on one side, like one-sided paper. So you have to put the written side against each other. And then, so what happened? These papers were thick. Now I went, I selected 8 sheets. I ran to the teacher again and I said, do you have gum at least? You know, can you get me gum? She said, yes, that I can do. And then I sat. And then I attached the sheets, the written side on written side, and I attached 8 of them. Now what happened, because the sheets were thick, in the center there was already a cross. That can, you can imagine 4 sheets piled on each other in the center. It was like a backbone. It was like a backbone. But it could not stop me from
amazing
doing my sketch for Swami. And right in the center of Jesus Christ's face, there was this thick line. I don't know.
You know what? It's like a cross, man.
It is a cross. It is a cross. It was right in the front of his face, right in the middle. And I said, no, it's not going to stop me.
I said, this is the best I have.
Mm.
And I was so happy that, you know, at least I got something. So then I took permission from the principal, auntie. I asked, auntie, can you please give me that painting? Because it was put up on the wall. Mm. And she said, okay, sure. Mm. So she took it out and gave it. And then I put it next to me. And I tried to take measurements and I made the sketch.
Mm.
And it came out like how it came out. I can't say how it was. And anyways, I was very happy that it was done. And
you were happy with whatever it was.
I was happy. And then I went to the mandir on Christmas Day.
Mm.
Now the beautiful part, how Swami... No, Swami came out from the interview room and there was this lower portico, if you remember the way it was earlier. There was the whole veranda and then there was a step down and there was a lower portico. And I was sitting somewhere down because fifth class, sixth class, I think, also was sitting down, lower portico. And from the interview room doors, from the platform, Swami looked straight at this drawing.
Oh,
and then
so you didn't go to Swami with the card?
I didn't go. He came.
Wow.
From there, he came all the way and Swami literally snatched this drawing from my hand.
Amazing.
And, you know, what touches me even today is, he didn't even look at the sketch.
Oh.
He didn't even look at the sketch. He just came and snatched it as if he has been seeing it all the while. You know?
It is his own.
His own. He just came and snatched it and then went straight to the VIP portico.
Oh.
He went straight to the VIP portico where all the VIPs are sitting and he's showing everybody. See, small boy, how he has done. See this? Small boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing everybody and then he's showing all the college students. He's showing everybody. See, this boy has done.
Beautiful.
And I was like, Swami, he has just taken it and gone. And then he came back. And then, you know, I had one black color sketch pen.
Mm.
And I wanted Swami to sign on it.
Yes.
And then I showed that black. Swami said, chi, black color. Not good.
Not good. Oh.
And then he turned to the institute boys and there was a boy. You know that we used to have that fancy pen at those times.
Mm.
Gold and silver pens. You know, it had the ink in it and if you shake, it would write in gold, shining gold. And Swami took a silver pen from somebody and signed with silver on that. Wow. With love, Baba. So, I mean, Bhava Priya, not Bahya Priya.
With love.
With
Baba.
Love.
If you have love, then that's
with
it.
With love, Baba. That's it. And
with love, Baba is yours.
That's it. With love, Baba is yours. And you know, that was such a beautiful incident. And
that too, see, when these things happen at that age, at that impressionable age, it leaves such indelible impact.
The way, you know, Swami just took that drawing, he says, I know this. Come on. Finally, okay, you have done it. Come on. It was so beautiful, so beautiful.
Amazing.
And so I think all through, you know, your student life, you start, you experience this.
Yes.
At any given point in time, if really Swami wanted the best of the best to come and sing here, he would have, you know, had what, if he wanted the best of the best people to speak, he would have had called anybody, but he wanted to give us, he's Bhava Priya, not Bhagya Priya.
Yes.
He's more interested in what transformation is going on inside you.
Yes. In fact, you know, you're talking about the best of the best coming and singing.
Mm.
In fact, during that same Bharat Cultural Integration Committee, program.
Right.
So once there was this occasion where the best of the best
in
Carnatic music had come.
Yes.
And world-renowned musician. So he came and he started the alap, his performance, and Swami got up.
Mm.
And Swami went inside.
Mm.
And Swami was having just casual conversation with the people who were serving him.
Mm.
And after this person finished singing his first song, he felt so insulted because never it has happened that, you know, it is the way whenever he gives a performance and especially when people of such eminence give performances.
Right.
You know, you are mandatory, you're supposed to sit there for the first song, the first salah, first song. It's not like he begins and you leave the place. So he waited for the first song to complete and then he shouted.
Mm.
Swami was inside actually, talking to other boys. He said, this is the last time I'm coming to this place, no one has insulted me like this before.
On the mic?
On the mic.
Oh my God.
On the mic. He shouted. He said, I will never again come back to this place. He said, and he left in a huff. You know, 1.5 hours time was given to him actually to perform. After that first song, he left. So, fine. Bhagwan came later. Program continued.
That's it.
That's it.
Ego is something which is...
Exactly. But look at Bhagwan. You know, we know how when the music college started.
Right.
Swami would call these music boys to his room.
Right.
And they used to sing for hours.
Right.
In fact, there were so many days when, you know, they've run out of songs. I was like, okay, no problem. Sing the same thing again.
Correct.
Once they finished all the songs, they know everything that they know. So I was like, okay, no problem. What else do you do? My morning practice we do. Do that only. Do that sargam practice. Anything. Swami is correcting their, you know, there you had the exponent, pioneer of Carnatic music. And here you had people who are still struggling to get. They were missing the beats, they were missing the swaras, and Swami is correcting them. But this is what is Swami. But the story does not end there. And so after many years, so he gets one more opportunity. When Swami travels some location, this singer gets another opportunity. And by that time, he had realized his mistake. And Swami gives the chance for him to sing. And by that time, he had done enough of repentance. And he had understood his folly. And that time, when he starts singing, Swami not only sits through the whole song. Swami says, sing one more. Sing one more.
Oh, one more. So beautiful.
So, as you're saying, you know, the whole world will never know what is happening because only he knows what is happening in the heart. In fact, that also reminds me when you were talking about your school days. I was reminded of something similar.
Right.
Actually, you remember in our school days, we used to have these exhibitions.
Correct.
Call Swami to
the
school.
Yes.
And basically, everyone would be given one paragraph. Ramon sir used to give one paragraph from Sathya Sai Speaks.
Right.
To every student, and you're supposed to think how you can portray that. So, to me, I remember the paragraph had something about temple. Something about temple and praying. And I was very serious, you know, I have to get this model done. And it was mentioned that, you know, boys should try and do these models in the vacation time. And
correct.
When they come,
yes,
you know, we'll have the exhibition. Before we went for winter vacation, I think winter vacation or summer vacation, I don't remember now. I think summer vacation. We are supposed to make it done. Yeah, summer vacation. So I went home. And for some time I didn't think about it, but you know, when the last 15 days were left, then, you know, I wanted to get this done. And my father being a civil engineer and he knows the carpenter, so I, you know, I spent that entire after that trying to come and make a nice temple with wood and everything, you know, which can be dismantled because I should come
be able to travel it, yeah.
Travel, you know. So I had to go like some 5 kilometers because, you know, in those days we are from a small town, so this carpenter was there like very far, so I just go there and, you know, so somehow I, you know, got this whole thing done and packed it with so many pillows and everything came in the train and everything. And when I came back and I asked the other guys, actually, interesting, nobody had done it.
Nobody had done it.
And I realized I'm the only one who actually had to come up with the model. People have ideas, but they wanted to do here. Nobody really did anything in the vacation. And of course, on the exhibition day, guys came up with fantastic stuff.
Correct.
You know? And the science boys did all with motions and all, things moving, put battery and, you know, things are moving. And everybody was trying to do in their model something where there is some engagement with Swami, you know.
Right, right.
It should ask Swami to touch something.
Catch Swami's
attention, you know. So everyone will think Swami will touch something, something should move, or Swami will, you know, press something and the cuckoo sound will come, something or the other. Everybody, you know, were doing very interesting things actually. I was, maybe I was not that creative, or this model that I had done had nothing of that nature, you know, no scope for movement in that. So I made that temple, I just arranged that temple, and there was one boy praying, that's all. The model was that much only. And I was thinking, you know what, maybe there's nothing, I won't get any nice opportunity with Swami, you know. We're looking at all the other models and guys are so bright from, you know, me also coming from a small town, these fellows, especially people like you from primary school, we already used to, so creative. So, you knew all the ways of attracting Swami's attention. And, but very interestingly, you know, the leaders in the class, they were planning where each model will be placed, and suddenly one brother said, no, we will, and there was one turning point, okay, and there was a little bit space there, so brother said, no, we will have it yours there. So my model was kept, and there was another brother who was very good at art and everything. I don't know, he suddenly took a lot of interest in me, and he decorated my place, you know, with curtains, this, that, and, you know, that, like a temple, nicely he did it actually. And then Bhagwan came, and I was thinking, okay, finally I thought, what should I do? You know, some engagement for Swami. So I got a lamp. At least Swami can light a lamp in a temple, something. Mm. Then Bhagwan came, and, you know, only now when I reflect, I understand this, because as he came, Swami saw that model. Even though there was nothing for him to, you know, to talk about or anything, He put his hand on my shoulder and he started talking everything about the temple. Ah, what is this boy doing? Oh, he's wearing a knicker. I said, Swami, please light this lamp. I said, no, a lot of paper and everything is there. Yeah?
Correct.
So, no. But he spoke to me very sweetly, and he gives so much time, even though there was nothing for Swami to actually get interested physically.
Beautiful.
So, today when I think, no, it was only that, you know, I was so serious that I have to make something, and I was the only guy who came back with a model from vacation, and here, you know, all that effort had given such lovely memories, and I have very good photographs also, you know, this is the initial years of the school, but you know that, you know, if you do it something with interest, Swami will know.
In fact, you know, it's a very interesting thing, because sometimes in our over enthusiasm and in the effort to, you know, really make something very, very successful as an offering to Swami and this and that, you know, like for example, the sports meet.
Yes.
Like, sometimes some professionals are roped in, and they are told to perform because certain spectacular feats, you know, the students can't do. But is Swami going to be happy with that? You know, our Kodai trip, you remember?
Yes.
In our Kodai trip in the year 1999, one day Swami was, you know, really, he was talking about the sports meet, and how beautifully Swami said, Swami said, what is there? Sometimes you bring all these professionals and that professional person is flying that
aerosports, the paraglider.
Paraglider is flying the paraglider and doing the aerosports. And I have to sit on the stage and tell my boys are doing it. Bhagwan knew everything.
He knew everything.
It's not the spectacular show of the aerosports that is important. It is how much you have put yourself into it.
Yes.
And I think every aspect of life as a student of Swami was that. It is not how much, it is how, you know, it's not what you do, like with what feeling you do.
Yes.
What is the feeling with which you go ahead and do it?
Yes.
And so Swami really took some of the teachers to task, and he said, I don't want that. That is all show.
Yes.
You know, I remember on another occasion, see, on the other hand, if you are ready to do one small bit for Swami, how much Swami, you know, kind of blows it up.
Amplifies it.
You know, I remember this so vividly, because this happened in front of my eyes. One year, the students from the Vrindavan campus, they decided to do rock climbing for the sports meet. So right behind the Shiva temple, Shiva statue. So there was this rock, and they wanted to demonstrate the professional way of, you know, rock climbing with different steps, and how do you do the anchoring, and as a part of the sports and culture. So that was what they had planned. Now what
they came, the 4 or 5 teachers came from Vrindavan, like it was a top secret mission.
Mm.
So they wanted to first tell Swami and take his blessings that, Swami, can we go ahead and do it? Because it has not been done before and we have to use that hill and all that.
Yes.
And so obviously they didn't want Swami to leak it out and tell it to the other campuses so that the other campuses should not get any, you know, ideas and all that. So Swami called them for an interview. And obviously sports meet is around the corner and Swami is calling only the Vrindavan teachers and we were in the school that time and so everybody is talking. So something, you know, everybody is very curious about what's going to happen. And then Swami comes out from the interview room. And the Vrindavan teachers are so happy that, you know, they have told Swami the idea and Swami has granted them permission.
Wow.
And Swami is going to keep it as top secret and, you know, it will be a grand spectacle. And then even before they crossed, Swami came to the, you know, just outside the interview room and he's saying, you know what Vrindavan boys are doing? The teachers, they had not crossed, they all looked back, Swami, please don't. But Swami could not kind of contain himself. He wanted to tell the Prashantaliyam boys. But you know what Swami said? The Vrindavan teachers, they themselves were kind of, you know, stupefied with what Swami said. Swami said, you know what? They are going to come in helicopters.
Oh.
They are going to come in helicopter. From helicopter, they land on that hill. And from that hill, they will come down. And then they will climb. Swami made it like 1,000 times more glorious than what their initial effort was. You know, that is Bhava Priya.
Really?
That is Bhava Priya, you know. They were looking at a small effort. They thought, okay, let us try to do this, something different. He's not, you know, touched when you get some professionals and do some spectacular stunts. You do something, wow, everybody's clapping. But Swami is not happy with that.
Yes.
You take small steps. You want to do, you know, with your heart and soul. Yes. That is what will touch Bhagwan's heart.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, you know, interestingly, Vrindavan has always done aerosports. You know?
Yeah.
They have been doing all.
So, you know, Swami, this is how Swami, I think the essence of this entire episode, this whole paragraph is that Swami is Bhava Priya, not Bahya Priya.
Yes.
And like squirrel, you know, played its own role in building the bridge of Lord Rama.
Yes.
I think all we can do is pray to Bhagwan to use us and allow us to spend our life in doing something which we believe is a part of His story.
He does not need anything.
He doesn't need. That's exactly what he said here in the studio, in this very hall, in this room, in 2002 when Swami came here. That's what he said. He said, I don't need this work. Ee paniki naaki sambandham ledu, he said.
No relation.
I don't have any relation with this kind of work you people are going to do. But if you are working properly, meer pani baag chestunnarante, and if you are improving, if you are able to, he says, in our samastha, in this samsthan, the words he used was, in this samsthan, it is not only the two senses, it is not the senses of seeing and hearing. Many samsthans are there where importance is given only to seeing and hearing. No, in our samsthan, all the five should come together.
Wow.
Swami said all the five should come together, the seeing, the hearing, the doing, the talking, everything should come together. It's not only two of the senses. Everything should come together and you should practice what I say. That is what is most important, not what this work you're doing.
Manasekam vachasekam karmanekam mahatmanam.
Exactly.
I think that's what it is. I mean, here Swami is referring to akar, robe and everything, but when we look at ourselves, you know, we are all wearing whites, especially when you go to visit Sai centers, we all wear whites. So we have to see how white we are within.
Absolutely. I think that is the most important.
That is the most important thing. I think once that is there, then His grace will always be there to make our lives bright. So dear listeners, this is an unending topic and a most very, very beautiful topic. And all of us know how Bhagwan is all the time looking for what is there in our heart. if that art outside comes from heart inside, only then it connects with the heart of the universe. And that is what we are all here for, to practice, to persevere with patience. So let us, as we listen to Bhagwan, let's ensure that there is more purity inside, so that it will touch the heart of divinity. So we'll continue this chapter 30 in the next episode of Vahini Satsang. Please feel free to share your thoughts. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet. Thank you so much. Saranam.